Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Elon Musk throws out another wild card. Could he acquire Twitter after all? And Bayer has won a string of victories in trials over its weed killer Roundup, but tens of thousands of cases are still pending.
What these wins do for Bayer is it gives them leverage in settling these cases because it tells the plaintiffs if you make it all the way to the trial phase, you could lose and get nothing.
Plus, how three physicists' research could help solve some of humanity's thorniest problems. It's Tuesday, October 4th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Elon Musk is offering to close his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter on the original terms he agreed to. The surprise move could avert a high-stakes trial set to begin later this month. According to a letter filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission, a lawyer for Musk communicated the proposal to Twitter's lawyers on Monday. Twitter confirmed receiving the letter and said it intends to close the transaction at the original price of $54.20 a share. Our legal affairs reporter Aaron Mulvaney has more on Musk's surprise turnaround.
Musk already had a very steep hill to climb, and there were a lot of rulings that were kind of stacking up against him as we headed toward trial. And we don't know exactly if there was one issue, but there were a lot of reasons that he couldn't risk losing after trial. And so it might be the reason that he settled at this point.
Twitter shares rallied on the news, closing up 22%. That was after trading was halted twice, first after the stock surged shortly after noon Eastern time, and then again several minutes later ahead of a pending news announcement. We have all the latest updates on this developing story on our website, WSJ.com. In the broader market, U.S. stocks extended their rally today. Investor optimism that markets might be poised for a broader recovery pushed all three major indexes to solid gains. The Dow was up more than 800 points, or 2.8%, and the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ were each up more than 3%. Former President Donald Trump's lawyers have asked the Supreme Court to weigh in on the FBI search of his Mar-a-Lago home. In a filing today, his legal team said an appeals court has improperly limited the court-appointed arbiter or special master from reviewing materials seized in August. His lawyers say the special master should review the documents to restore public confidence in the investigation. U.S. job openings fell 10% in August to just over 10 million from more than 11 million the month before. The Labor Department says openings fell the most in healthcare, retail, and other service industries. Our economics reporter Austin Hufford says it's the biggest drop since the start of the pandemic.
What economists are telling me is that this could be one of the earliest signs that the super hot labor market is actually cooling. Basically, we think about job openings, that's kind of, it means that companies are trying to hire, that they're saying, we think the economy is going to be good. And when job openings go away, that's kind of a negative sign, meaning that companies are saying they don't have as much confidence in the future state of the economy.
We'll get more details on the state of the labor market in the monthly jobs report out on Friday. And Micron Technology is the latest chip maker to announce plans to expand in the U.S. The company says it'll invest up to $100 billion to build a semiconductor manufacturing campus in upstate New York. It would be the biggest such facility in the U.S. Several other companies, including Intel and Texas Instruments, have announced chip factory investments in recent months. The Biden administration has sought to boost production through the Bipartisan Chips and Science Act, which subsidizes the construction or expansion of chip-making plants. Coming up, Bayer is facing tens of thousands of lawsuits over its weed killer Roundup, but the company has recently turned a losing streak into a string of wins. What's behind the company's new strategy and what it means for pending cases after the break?
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Bayer, the maker of the world's most widely used weed killer, Roundup, has been fighting tens of thousands of lawsuits alleging that the product causes cancer. And up until recently, juries agreed. The German company lost three trials between 2018 and 2019. The first loss came shortly after Bayer acquired Roundup through its $63 billion acquisition of agriculture giant Monsanto. But now things seem to be taking a turn. Bayer has recently won five consecutive trials. The company has long maintained that its product is safe and has cited regulatory reviews that determined it does not pose a cancer risk. But it still has tens of thousands of lawsuits pending. So what's behind the turnaround in verdicts? And what does it mean for pending cases? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal agriculture business reporter Patrick Thomas. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Patrick, what can you tell us about Bayer's change in strategy? What are experts pointing to for the recent series of verdicts in Bayer's favor?
Well, some of the analysts and some of the plaintiffs' lawyers that have been directly involved in many of these cases have talked to us and said they attribute some of the success here to Bayer doing a better job of focusing on the scientific question of whether Roundup causes cancer in the first place. If you're able to put that in doubt in the mind of a jury, it makes going forward with these cases a lot more difficult for the plaintiffs. Regulators in the U.S., the EPA, and Europe have said that glyphosate, the disputed active ingredient in Roundup, doesn't cause cancer, and they've come out in support of it. And that's really helped Bayer, really, in their arguments in the science in a lot of these cases. They've also provided much more robust data to juries. Some lawyers have specifically cited the expert witnesses that they've been bringing in the last five trials. They've won five in a row. They lost the first three and have now won five. And one of the differences has just been the witnesses they brought in. You know, when you're trying these cases, if you do enough of them, the plaintiff's lawyers point out to us, you kind of start to understand how they go and kind of the flow of them. And you depose the plaintiff's expert witnesses enough, you kind of get an idea of how to counter it, or maybe what tweaks you should make on your own front, what will appeal to the jury. And the plaintiffs note that Bayer has done a good job of bringing in witnesses that will appeal to the jury. They've brought in a scientist who has put out specific data points that some of the mutations in the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma are a result of kind of random replications rather than environmental factor. Putting a number behind it, the lawyers say, maybe resonates more with the jury. So it's little tweaks like this. Some analysts also note that they've just been more aggressive in attacking plaintiffs' arguments on their individual use of the product, and that that has also gone well for them. They've used more live employee witnesses than they had in some of the early trials. That's been another point that analysts made. All of these things seem like a series of small adjustments that have had big outcomes for Bayer.
So going forward, Bayer still has tens of thousands of lawsuits to resolve, and it has set aside about $16 billion for settlements. What might this recent shift in strategy mean for those pending cases?
Well, it could have big implications. The legal analysts we spoke to made the note that this is big for them in getting leverage for the remaining settlements, right? These are thousands of other claims against Roundup. So the big thing is, can you settle it? And will that tranche of money that they set aside, that $16 billion, is that sufficient? And that's telling your investors that the money they've already put aside is sufficient to settle this and get past the bulk of Roundup, and that you won't have to take any more billions of dollars out to settle these cases. So what these wins do for Bayer is it gives them leverage in settling these cases, because it tells the plaintiffs, if you make it all the way to the trial phase, you could lose and get nothing. So this gives them a little bit more leverage in the settlements and gives them a better chance that that money, that $16 billion number that they set aside, will be sufficient.
What have you heard from plaintiffs about Bayer's recent shift in strategy and wins?
Well, the plaintiffs say that this recent shift by Bayer has been successful for the company, and one lawyer said they could continue to lose a couple more before all of the plaintiff's lawyers, there are many different camps, adjust to the company and kind of their line of witnesses and their line of arguments. And they could take a couple more losses, but eventually they say they'll make their own adjustments and keep going. I mean, there are a lot of cases in front of them. We've only had eight. That seems like a lot in terms of trials, but there are many more to go. So We're going to see how it plays out and if Bayer can keep winning. But overall, they think they can adjust on their side and that they believe they still have a strong case and they're going to keep trying these and they're going to keep going after it.
Patrick, in the past few years, this litigation has been costly for Bayer. How have the lawsuits over Roundup impacted the business?
Well, it's been a huge overhang on just the stock price. I mean, this stock has gone down more than 50% since it lost its first case in August of 2018. And Bayer closed their acquisition of Monsanto that year. And since then, the stock has just been underwater after it. Liability concerns, the legal costs of this have just been so ongoing for these many years. And just the idea that Bayer might have to set aside more and more money to kind of settle these cases has just weighed on its share price. And I think the folks we talked to said if they can get some more leverage on these settlements, it could go a long way in kind of getting through Roundup. It could be a way for them to finally get through the shadow of these cases if enough keep going their way. And that could ultimately help the share price and get them out of this hole that they've been going through for 4 years. So it's speculative, but it could go a long way if they keep finding success. It could really matter to investors.
That's Wall Street Journal agriculture business reporter Patrick Thomas. Patrick, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, the Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded today to three physicists for their work in the emerging field of quantum computing. The trio, Ale Asper, John Clauser, and Anton Zeilinger, worked on entangled quantum states, where two or more particles are affected by others despite being separated by long distances. Their combined groundbreaking experiments laid the foundations for quantum computers and networks. Wall Street Journal science reporter Eric Kneeler says those technologies hold the promise of solving some massively complex problems we face today.
This could include patterns in the folding of human proteins that are important to developing new drugs, for example. It could include calculations of the Earth's climate, how it's changing with increased greenhouse gases, for example, in the near or far future. It could also include very practical things. Say a company wants to maximize its shipping routes for hundreds of tankers across the globe.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.